I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
That's right. Hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank all the way until 5 o'clock. That's when Dustin Rhodes takes over and leads you right into Mully and Hall. They got three great guests for you. And that's great with a G-R-A-T-E. Olin Cruz at 7, Brad Biggs at 8, Mike Florio at 9, then Raheem Harrison Grody. They got Anthony Weeder. Excuse me. Damn, that's how you know it's 3 in the morning. Anthony Heron. At 11.
That's definitely how you know it's 3 a.m.
That's what I'm saying, right? And Dan Weeder at 1 p.m. Spiegel and Holmes come on at 3. But I am here with you hanging out, man. That was Grant Leader. He's producing today. When you call in, he's the one that you're talking to. So he's going to get you right. Make sure you lined up. And that way we get a chance to talk. And that's what we're doing, man. Talking about this Bears loss. The end of a season, really. A great season. A memorable one. One that we'll be talking about for years to come, right? Trying to dissect Caleb's best throws, whether it was the Kokomet touchdown in the NFC divisional championship game or divisional round to send it into overtime. If it was, oh my gosh, the comeback against the Packers, the other six comebacks throughout the season, the Josh Blackwell field goal block in Las Vegas. Like, oh my God, there were so many. But we get the chance, and I've been struggling with this during the show to, you know, look towards the future of this team and see the path that they're on while at the same time processing the loss and being upset, you know, because of the loss. Because the Bears, in my mind, you know, Matthew Stafford didn't have his best game, but I think the Bears should have won that game. They had themselves in a position to win in overtime, ball in their hand, 50-yard line, first down. Should have won. So I'm going to say that and pound my chest while saying that. But I'm curious what you have to say. I'm mad and hopeful. That's what I am. Pissed and hopeful. But what are you when it comes to this whole thing? 312-644-6767. Let's go out to another regular. Let's go to Rich out on the Northwest side. Rich, what do you think the reasons are that the Bears lost?
Hey, I'm proud and I'm frustrated. And this game is the frustration, unfortunately, for probably most of Chicago. If Loveland gets 56 yards and he's your leading receiver, what did Adunze and Moore get for receiving yards?
And left the game with a concussion. So he didn't even play the fourth quarter.
Well, they went to the well too often with Loveland, but I say that about McCaffrey when the 49ers do it. So yeah, well, I guess they figured they had something hot, and they're just going to – they beat it to the ground. Wasn't that Komet's first catch, the last one in regulation? That was his first and only catch. I mean, the guy can catch the ball, spread the ball around.
Yeah.
Get the ball to guys in the open areas. Let guys run after the catch. There's so much I'm frustrated about. That first, that red zone, when they ran three times up the middle. Guys, you didn't have Walter Payton to jump over the top of everybody. Where's the creativity? No offense, Ben Johnson, but there was no creativity on that drive at all. And then they throw it on fourth down and don't get it after running it up the gut and getting stopped three times. That looked like the old Bears. That looked like the when we had no coaching.
Yeah.
So I was just frustrated. But what are the yards for DJ Moore and Odunze? How many yards did those guys have?
DJ Moore had 5 catches for 52 yards and a touchdown. Rome Odunze, 2. All right, let me back up. DJ Moore, 5 catches, 52 yards on 8 targets. I think that's important to talk about how many times he was targeted. 8 times.
Okay.
Rome Odunze, 2 catches, 44 yards on 6 targets. So he was targeted a ton in this game. Unfortunately, obviously, from the very beginning, not coming down with the touchdown and the first drive of the game was extremely frustrating for Bears fans. I feel like that was the momentum they needed, especially in a game like this. When you look back and see how this thing played out, not that the touchdown, I'm not going to say like, oh, if they scored a touchdown, they win the game, but it would have seeing how the Bears were playing, if they would have gotten off to that hot start and got a touchdown from the very beginning, I think the momentum would have propelled them to that victory.
Yeah, it's just the runs after the catch. We really struggle there, except for Loveland. You know, it just seems like everybody catches the ball and runs out of bounds or catches it and falls down. It's like nobody wants the. You see these good teams, that wide receiver on the Seahawks.
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Nakua.
Yeah.
Puka Nakua, he catches a ball and he's looking to cause damage. We don't have guys that want to do that. You know, these top teams have those guys.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, right? Because you look at Puka Nakua and, you know, his, you were talking about DJ Moore's stat line. Puka Nakua, 5 catches for 56 yards, very similar to DJ Moore, right? So they both had the same productivity where DJ Moore had the touchdown instead. DJ Moore, 5 for 52, Puka Nakua, 5 for 56. Interesting, right?
Yeah, exactly. But they did a great job defensively. But that play went with the interception with second and eight. Why don't they just send everyone down the field and let Caleb run the ball? I mean, you send everyone down on a bomb, couple pumps of the arm, he's going to find a hole and probably run the ball for 20 yards. I just was so frustrated. I mean, like you said, why are you throwing the ball? You had a first down or two, and you just had a little 20 yards or less to go. Why are you throwing that pass, even though there was miscommunication on it?
Yeah, that was
very, very frustrating.
Frustrating.
But thank you for taking this call.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Of course, no problem, Rich. Thanks for the call yourself, man. And I understand the frustration. When the Bears are, you know, let's not forget, you're talking about like a team of destiny, right? Where they weren't supposed to win the NFC North. They weren't supposed to beat the Packers in the first round. Let's not forget, they were an underdog at home against the Packers. They started off as a 4.5-point underdog against the Rams at home, right? So this is a team that wasn't supposed to be there. A team of destiny. And so for the Bears to get that close, to have, like, think about this for a second. Your Chicago Bears in the NFC divisional playoffs are facing the number one offense in the league. The number one offense. They've held them to 17 points up to this point. You have kicked the ball off to them in overtime and stopped them. Yes, Rich from the Northwest side. When you're mad and frustrated and pissed, yes. Because you've done everything right up until this point. You hit a miraculous touchdown to Cole Kmet to send it to OT. You did your job. Then you stopped the number one offense in the league from coming down and putting up any points. You didn't just hold them to a field goal. You stopped them from scoring. You made them punt the ball. And you gave it to, arguably, the most clutch player in the NFL this season. This season. The most clutch quarterback in the NFL this season has been Caleb Williams. You gave him the ball and said, here you go, son. All you got to do is get a field goal and you'll be in the NFC championship game. So, yes, when you hear me struggle, I am struggling right now during the show because I want to be hopeful for the future. But I also want to be objective about how close the Bears were to playing another week. And again, the frustration stems from the fact that they were that close to winning and they themselves cost them the opportunity via the interception. It's frustrating. Like if they would have won this game, the Bears would have won that game, then went out to Seattle and got their ass whooped, fine. They're the number one team in the league. The offense has been great. Jackson Smith and Jigba, leading receiver in the league. Sam Darnold, we know what kind of a first playoff victory, but we know what kind of quarterback he is. The defense has been overlooked all season long. If you're going to say you're outclassed, outmatched by that team, then fine. fine, because then the Bears can look internally and say that we weren't good enough. But to lose like this, to have to watch the rest of the playoffs because of that, I'm sorry if I'm not there yet to talk about the offseason. And then that's the other frustrating part. You're going to tell me the Bears need to get better on defense. And I'm going to tell you, screw you. That's not why they lost the game. See? Because I'm still stuck on the game. And you've moved on. You're talking about next season already. I'm not there yet, mentally. But maybe you are. Let's take some more phone calls. Matthew on the west side. So, Matthew, you were at the game?
Hey, what's going on, bro? Yeah, I was at the game. This ain't going to be an easy one, too. This going to be – I wrote this down for you.
Oh, I'm ready. Take your time.
It's about to be the smoke. I got you.
I'm ready.
Gabe, this is 1,000% on Ben Johnson. And it sucks that he didn't take blame for that at the post game, and Caleb didn't take it at the post game either. But it's basically Ben Johnson. The throw, I'm in section 130, row 9. I seen seat 11. My dad's seat 10. The throw was to Burden. Caleb looked Burden down the first 3-4 seconds of the play. You saw DJ look at Burden and walk right past him while he's sitting on the ground. The throw was to Burden. Caleb muffed the throw. As you saw, it was an empty backfield. It was a passing play. Or like the previous caller said, he could have ran. But it was a passing play. It wasn't to DJ. I don't like that rhetoric. I would have walked out on the media too. Ben Johnson, this was on him. All these field goals right in front of us. The whole game he could have taken. Man, you just leaving points in the playoffs on the board, G. That's why these players pissed right now. I'm pissed because you're a playoff coach, but you don't know the playoff coach. You walked away with 10 points in the fourth quarter again. You did the same thing as last week, G. Like, this is not cool what they're doing to DJ. I don't know what people are looking at. You need to look at the all 10 again or all 12 again. Caleb stares down Luther. DJ comes on a cross route. It was right in front of us. I thought the pass was going to Luther. Luther sits down on his butt. DJ walked right past him looking at him. This is not on DJ, y'all. Like, that is some BS on me.
I just watched the play again while you're talking because I wanted to be sure because I love the take and I'm looking at it right now. So Luther does like this like up and out route that I'm seeing right there. But the throw, if it were to Luther, because I see what you're saying, where Luther's there and he kind of stopped running the route as well.
It's like in between them, right?
It's in between them. You're right. It is in between them. But Caleb already said it in the post game that he was looking for DJ.
Of course he's going to say that, Gabe, because he's covering himself and his coach. He's not going to say that it was all on him. Come on, G, you know better than that.
Okay, hold on. So you're putting a conspiracy theory out there that...
I ain't putting a conspiracy. I'm telling you what I saw and what
facts.
Why do you think DJ walked past Luther while he's sitting on the ground and didn't help him up?
That's funny. Okay.
Hold on. I got two more things for you.
Oh, wow. Good.
Pass to the lineman, would you like that? You like that play? They almost got intercepted?
The Theo Benedict one. I mean, it was his outlet.
You like that?
Okay, wait. Do I like the fact that Caleb Williams threw it 85 miles per hour at a freaking offensive lineman? No.
I don't know.
Soften it up.
To a lineman in the playoff game. That is.
It was an outlet. The play was covered. That was his fourth read. That wasn't the read.
Gabe, do you see Sean McVay? Do you see Sean McVay passing the linemen in playoff games?
All right, you're right. All right, I like good comment.
I'm just saying.
The blitzes were
kind of predictable too on third down, Gabe. Like you could see them. They backed
okay.
up once.
Now
it
wait,
worked.
that one, because I know there's some people listening, Mike that or Matthew that weren't at the game and didn't see the game. They're just like driving around, maybe waking up.
Right.
And I'll say this, the last blitz by Kyler Gordon, where Puka Nacua got the first down on the 3rd and 6, I mean, damn. Like, at least Jalen Johnson, when he would blitz, he was, like, facing up to the wide receiver, and then would go blitz. Like, Kyler Gordon made it very obvious that he was blitzing, and they had done it so – they had gone to the well so many times that they had adjusted for it, and that's why Puka was open in that moment. But that was, like, too easy of a first down in that situation.
DA did a fake blitz one time where he pulled them back when they snapped the ball, and that was they stopped them on third down, man.
They should have did
that
again.
And that was like, I thought they were doing that a lot more, and like the previous caller said, and you've been saying all night, Gabe, they could have easily took D Swift right up the gun and set themselves up for a nice little 47-yard something or other
on
fourth down, wind the clock down, you feel me? And that, but it was a passing play. This is 1,000% on Ben Johnson.
It was a pass. Yep. They wanted the splash play there. Let's be very clear.
But that's not a good coaching play. You in the playoffs, dude. You're supposed to be paid, not paid. You're supposed to be known how to coach in the playoffs because you did this. You did the same thing last year with the Lions. You're supposed to put the team in a position to win, and you messed up at least four times when your players had to make up for you. That's what I'm saying.
I love it. Thanks for the call, Matthew. I appreciate the attention to detail because you do bring up some great points. The blitzes were predictable towards the end of the game. Obviously, they were working in the middle, but you have to adjust, right? You have to adjust to the adjustment. That's what good coaches do. I think you are right in saying, because I tweeted it out during the game, follow me, at Gabe Ramirez. You follow me, I'll follow you back. I tweeted it out, said things we're going to be talking about on overnight, and one of them was Ben Johnson's red zone play calling. And I don't want to say it's been an issue all year, but if we're going to be honest about things that need to be cleaned up, I think that holds true for Ben Johnson as well. There's a level of predictability there. Everyone knows you're going for it on fourth down, Ben. So on third and four, guess what? They also know that you're going to run. Where you that might have thrown people off and you might have been the beneficiary of some first downs in certain situations because people weren't anticipating Ben Johnson, the offensive juggernaut, to be running it on third and four. But he was doing that to set himself up for a fourth and short so that way he can have more plays to choose from. And I think that it became predictable to a point where teams adjusted to that. So we needed to adjust to the adjustment, right? And again, do we love Ben Johnson? Yeah. Do we love Caleb Williams? Of course. But again, we can be hopeful for the future, but critical of the present. And I think that's where we're at right now with this show. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Got a ton lined up and a ton to get to. Again, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. Bears lose 20-17. And geez, pull up a stat. Pull up the box score and you'll see what went on there. The Bears had four sacks. Jaquan Brisker had one. Kyler Gordon had one. Speaking of, you know, safety blitzes, Montez Sweat had the strip sack. And then Dominique Robinson up the middle had one as well. Seven pass deflections for the Bears. You know, let's not forget, Emmanuel Forbes, their best cornerback, went down earlier in the game. This is someone who is top five in pass deflections himself. He has 18 on the season. You know, had to get up out there, and the Bears couldn't take advantage of that. Think about that. No one's talking about that. Emmanuel Forbes is out the game, their best cornerback. And the Bears couldn't capitalize. You know how often I watch teams when the Bears put in Nick McCloud, best believe other teams are attacking that person. The Rams, Emmanuel Forbes goes down. And when you're thinking about, I didn't hear anybody talking about his backup in the time. Kobe Durant. We did hear him talking about. That's the guy who got the interception.
Yeah, he was on the broadcast one time.
Damn, Emmanuel Forbes goes out and Kobe Durant, the backup, gets the interception and almost had two. Cam Curl, he's second on the team in tackles. And I was telling everybody this week on Chicago Sports Network on the Chicago League, myself, David Hall, Ruthie Polinsky, I was telling everybody, I said, Cam Curl is going to be a difference maker in this one. And he was. You saw it at the very tail end of the overtime, gets the interception, makes the big difference. But again, we're trying to talk about two things on this one, guys. And that is the frustration of the loss, which I think it's okay to be frustrated about certain things. And you can point out to what we feel like were the issues. And to be happy about the season and hopeful for the future. But where are you at? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Brandon out in Morgan Grove. Brandon, good to talk to you again, man.
Yo, what's good, Gabe?
Chilling.
Thanks for taking my call, man. You really earned your money this year, man. Appreciate your time as the official Bears therapist, man. And you had your couch open all year, man. What a memorable season, man. But
We made progress, Brandon. We made progress this year. You know, as most therapy sessions should, we've made progress. We're in a much better place by the end of the year.
You know, it came at a cost, though. You know, all these memorable moments probably took like 10 years off my life.
Facts.
You know, and man, you bring up a lot of good points tonight. You know, the second and eighth play, you know, you're going like you said, 25 yards down the field. And you got to be like more smart in that situation. You know what I mean? And like the other caller said, I think, you know, Ben got out coached tonight, you know, and hopefully he learns from this. You know, the Patriot teams, you know, they had Edelman. You know, he would just go to the sticks and turn around, you know, and, you know, they'd hit play action and, you know, they'd mix it up. And I think we went to the run too much tonight. And, you know, what's up with, you know, the last minute offensive line change, you know?
That was, wow. You know what? I'm so glad you brought that up because I haven't talked about that enough. But go ahead.
And, you know, you threw it to Benedict, but you didn't throw it to Swift one time today, you know, and you didn't run really any screen plays. And, you know, like the other caller said, I think Caleb was staring down Luther a little a lot tonight. And, you know, I just think in the weather, you saw both quarterbacks kind of struggling, you know, both were kind of sailing the ball. And McVay made the adjustment. You know, he saw that, you know, the long distance plays weren't working and you just got to go, you know, short yardage, hammer away. And I think, in the conditions, he kind of took advantage of that, you know, against the defense. And, you know, Ben didn't. I mean, he did lean on the run too much, but it was like too much predictability. And, you know, he was going, like you said, for the jugular when you don't really need to, you know, and hopefully he'll learn from the situation, you know.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to learn from, right? I think from all parties. I think that because of the success, we shy away from the learning curve that is life, right, Brandon? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a head coach, if you're starting a paper route as a teenager, if you're going into college for the first time. I mean, there is a learning curve, and your first day on the job is not going to be the same as month six, right? And month one isn't going to be the same as year two. It's just there is a difference there, and I think that, you know, because of the successes, we haven't really leaned on or talked much about, you know, what that is for Ben Johnson and what that looks like. And I think he will, right? I think I talk about Andy Reid a lot when I think about these situations. And it's like, you know, Andy Reid had to make some mistakes on timeouts and on play calls, you know, throughout the course of his career in order for him to be the Hall of Fame coach that he is. And I think Ben Johnson, where he's at right now, he himself has learning to do, right? And will, and in reflecting about the season. But I think everyone will benefit from that, right? I think the Bears as a whole, the fan base, the players benefited from having such a detail-oriented, you know, football-focused head coach in Ben Johnson. And now they're going to be the beneficiary of somebody that gets to judge himself and sharpen his own knife, right? And then everybody gets to be the beneficiary. And Caleb Williams being in the offense for the second season. It's like so many things that happen that kind of like really lead to the positive outlook of this Bears team.
Don't get me wrong. You know, the collection of coaches this year were great. But I just wonder, like, you know, just this game, though, like you say, man, it's like it's going to hurt for a while because it was there for, you know, the taking. And, you know, I just wonder how the other coaches, you know, feel about how Ben called the game, honestly. And, you know, I just think that, you know, the other caller said too, you know, you could have spread the offense out more. And, you know, I didn't see one, you know, like quarterback droplet. You know, I would have liked to have seen that maybe. He didn't really use the screen game. You know, he was predictable on the run plays. Like, it's a lot, man, you know.
Yeah, it's but, tough. It's tough. And listen, Brandon, the way you sound right now and everybody that's listening, we're all feeling the same, right? Where there's frustration and anger from a game that you felt like was within reach, but there's also this newfound hope that you might be in this predicament for years to come because of the foundation that's already been there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, I hate to, like, look at the draft, but, like, man, how did, like, Jacob Rodriguez
I'm not there yet.
Max Crosby, you know, there's positive outlooks. Hopefully Ryan Poles will spend and, you know, Ben Johnson will learn from this game. Thanks, though.
Of course, Brandon, appreciate the call, man. 312-644-6767. We are not done todavía. No estamos acá. We have not finished, bro, because we got time to go. I'm here till 5 o'clock hanging out with you. Then that's when Dustin Rhodes comes on. Mully and Hall got some great. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. You know what that means. 670 The Score. We are here from you. And then if you didn't hear, which I'm sure you have, big news. You know, The Score will be moving to the FM dial. That's right. We're excited about our FM debut on 104.3 The Score coming February 2nd during the Mully and Hall show. So they're going to be simulcasting on CHSN, as they normally do, and they'll flip the switch so you can either watch it on CHSN or listen to it live or download the Odyssey app. All Score shows, Cubs, Bulls, all on the FM, high fidelity, all the time, including in downtown Chicago, as we all know that sucks if you ain't got the HD2 channel. The Score will still be heard on 670 AM, but starting Monday, February 2nd, is the debut of the 104.3 on FM. And make sure you are here for it. The simulcast is presented by Official Sportsbook of The Score, Circa Sports, sports betting the way it should be. All right, I'm ready to take more calls because I want to hear how you feel about this one. If you're waking up, if you're going to bed, you're getting home from your girl's house or your side chick's house, and you want to talk about this one, I want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. Your call's on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670.
Lemonade! Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Score.
And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
I mean, I would say Seahawks fans are probably not fired up that the Rams are playing. That's what I would think. I mean, if this is a game in the 70-degree weather or right across the street right here, this might be Rams by a couple, maybe 10, 14 points. But because it was in the elements, it was in Soldier Field, I mean, it was a fantastic environment for playoff football.
Love
Caleb, those guys, incredible. Battling those guys all the way to the end. Had multiple chances, but the Rams are a good football team. They're obviously sound on both sides of the ball. They have the experience. Sean McVay, Matt Stafford, just the different looks. You know, you talked about the cover zero with Puka. Making those types of plays in crunch time. I mean, that's why these guys can separate themselves. And the longer you play, the better team, the more experienced team will eventually win out.
And the Bears hopefully can be a team that plays longer together and can find themselves in that situation on the other side of it. It was David Carr right there on the NFL Network talking about the experience, the veteran leadership that exists on the Los Angeles Rams with not only Matthew Stafford, Devontae Adams, but with Puka Nacua and Sean McVay and the entire staff that they have. Bears lose to the Los Angeles Rams 20-17, ending their season, a memorable one. One we'll be talking about for some time. I am Gabe Ramirez, hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank, taking your phone calls and really trying to dissect where our emotions are at on this one, right? Everybody that's calling up, whether they're on the way to sleep or heading home from wherever they're headed, it's really, you have emotions about the game, and then you have emotions about the future of this team. And we're going to be talking to you about all of them. 312-644-6767. Let's take your phone call. Let's go to Steve out in Chicago. Steve, what'd you think about this one? Did it end the way that you hoped?
No, I'm a Bears fan. Well, yeah, great show, and I agree that hopeful for the future, and then, you know, down the road, yeah, I'll be hopeful. But right now, these are just the thoughts I had from watching the game. I thought it was winnable for the Bears for a number of reasons. Well, Adunze drops one, but you know what? I'm more upset about coaching. Bill Walsh, the greatest coach, one of the greatest of all time, said, coaching is like chess, so you're countering. So I can count about seven times the Rams had eight guys in the box looking for the run, and Ben Johnson calls a run play.
Hmm.
Now, is that countering what they do? No. So I was surprised because I knew Ben Johnson. He's a great offensive mind. And in pivotal situations, I'm surprised that he called such a predictable play and ran into eight or nine in the box rather than putting the ball in Caleb's hands. And I was wondering if you can give me some insight into why possibly he wasn't letting Caleb win the game. Like, for instance, when they're third and one on the 2 yard line, how about a play action, have Caleb roll out? Chris Collinsworth at one point said, now he's an ex-football player, and he said that his observation at one point was at some point you got to let Caleb do his thing and run. And they never did. And I don't know why they kept running the ball and instead of trying to have Caleb win the game with his legs. And then, yeah, the fourth, the overtime, when you're on the 50-yard line, you just need a couple short passes, you know, like a couple slants, have Caleb roll out.
Sure.
You just need to get to probably the 30-yard line because Santos kicked a 51-yarder, so somewhere in the 30, 32 yards is what you need. And they didn't do that. So my thing is they didn't. They were very predictable, Ben Johnson, which is a surprise. Yeah, this is his first year head coach, but he was an offensive coordinator for many years. And I'm not talking about – I'm talking about his play calling was a complete surprise that he didn't, with the most athletic quarterback in football right now. Why didn't he have Caleb on some of those third and one, second and one in the red zone? Put the ball in his hands and let him do his thing. I guess that's the biggest regret that I have. And yeah, I know they're going to be really, really good in the future, but right now this game is still fresh.
Yeah.
And my question is, why run it up the middle into nine people in the box, three, four, five, you know, even on the, when they were on the 50 yard line in overtime, they ran one and the guy lost 2 yards. It's like all they need is to have Caleb roll out and let him do his thing, and I believe they would have won the game. And why do you think Ben Johnson was so predictable and did not open up his arsenal and let Caleb do his thing so often?
Yeah.
Do you think he didn't trust Caleb, or do you think he thought the Rams had their edge rushers would contain Caleb? And I just don't know why didn't he let Caleb win the game, you know,
yeah,
do his thing.
I get it, man. And I appreciate you sharing your emotions with me because they're fresh and I can see it. I want to go to your main question, which is, you know, why not allow Caleb to win it all? And I think you have to balance that out. But before you do that, you have to look at the season as a whole. Like, don't just look at this Rams game. Go back and look at damn near every single game this year so far. He's taken the ball out of Caleb Williams' hands. And he's done it consistently, Steve. Where, whether it's Caleb's inability to make those easy passes, to check down and, you know, convert first downs, Ben Johnson has, I've seen Ben Johnson run the ball the entire red zone, right? There's been moments, if you were to look at the majority of the red zone possessions in the middle of the season specifically, and I remember doing shows here complaining about it, Steve, where I was like, he doesn't want Caleb to make a mistake. He doesn't want Caleb to, he'd rather run it with Manunga. That's when Manunga and Swift really became that two-headed back or two-headed monster after the bye week, is because Ben Johnson was like, well, damn, I know what we do well, and it's not let Caleb Williams throw the ball 40 times, right? Because the completion percentage was hovering around 60%. So when you're talking about this game in particular, it's nothing that he hadn't done already or that Ben Johnson hadn't been doing all season. He thought that this is what works and this is what got him there. Now, to be fair, you know, Caleb did throw the 3 interceptions on the day. But I think to your point about predictability and my point about adjusting to the adjustments, if you marry those two, then it probably equals at least a couple more opportunities for Caleb Williams to make a good play as opposed to leaning on the run. So I agree with you there. I think that Ben Johnson should have let Caleb Williams have an opportunity, an extra crack or two instead of the run. But again, he's been doing that all season. So it's unfortunate that that's the case. But, you know, Jason Leisure pointed out earlier that, you know, Caleb talked about wanting to focus and have a priority be his footwork and his accuracy in the offseason. And I think all Bears fans could agree that if that's your priority and that is something that gets improved, then the Bears are going to be in a much better situation for years to come, right? If Caleb Williams continues to improve, which if we're only to look at the season, he did throughout the course of the season. Caleb Williams got better. From the beginning of the season to the end, got better. Now, granted, he threw almost half as many interceptions in this game, this last game, than he had the entire season. But I think overall, as a quarterback, right, in control of the offense, Ben Johnson's offense, and let's not forget, Ben Johnson's going to be able to add wrinkles into this offense next year that he wasn't able to this year because it was so complex, people just needed to grasp it. But year two should look a lot different in that one. But I'm curious your thoughts. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score. Let's go to Dave out in Indy. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I've seen so many games. I did not want them to go into overtime. My grandson and I, my son and my grandson, we were all screaming, go for the extra point, go for the extra point. And I'm like, no, I don't want to go for the extra point. I will take the two now. I said, if we go into overtime, we're going to lose. I just have this bad feeling. And I just want to know, I remember two games where we went for two-point conversions and got them both. And I just want to know, what's the ratio of our two-point conversions throughout the year?
It's a good question. Go ahead.
Pardon?
I said, go ahead. That was a good question. It's a good question. Oh, I thought you were asking something else there. Ben Johnson talked about it in the post-game press conference, Dave, where he mentioned that up until that point, he felt like their short yardage situations and their goal-to-go situations weren't performing at a high level. And so, therefore, he didn't want to risk it in that moment. That's exactly what he said. And I can give you the quote on going for the two-point conversion. He says, this is Ben Johnson's quote. He says, I thought about it. Yeah, thought about it. Probably what played a little bit of a factor was our goal-to-goal situations hadn't gone very clean. Our inside-the-five plan hadn't worked out quite like we had hoped. And I just felt better about taking our chances there in overtime. I think I would have been devastated, Dave, if the Bears would win for two after, you know, struggling on fourth down and in third and short situations, if the Bears season would have ended that way with another mishap on the 2 yard line that resulted in them not getting an extra point and sending it into overtime. Because I felt like the momentum was in their favor at that point. You know, you were being negative, Dave. You were the bad juju guy saying that the Bears weren't going to win, but everybody else in Chicago felt like the juju was in our favor.
Yeah, you're right. It's been a long time, and it was really cold, and I was figuring, you know, they have so many misdirection plays and whatever, you know, where Caleb could have just ran it, and he did the play that got him to the 50-yard line. He ran it. It was like the only play that he ran.
Yeah.
And he took off.
Took off.
Right?
Dave, Dave, I've been talking about this. If I would have told you that the Bears had the ball first and 10 from the 50-yard line and all they needed to do was kick a field goal to win the game, you would tell me the Bears are going to win. You would tell me Caleb Williams, of course. You would say, of course Caleb Williams is going to get 15 yards to get you that field goal. Like, there would have been no doubt in your brain.
Yeah, but I wanted him to run some more in the overtime, too. But he only, like I said, that was like the only time he ever really ran.
Yeah, I get it. Thanks for the call, Dave. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you bringing up the two-point conversation.
You mentioned the troubles, like the goal-to-go situation going the way you wanted to. Do you feel like that was an execution issue on your guys' part, or do you feel like that was something they were doing on defense or some sort of
I'll go back and look at that tape. I don't know that I was necessarily surprised by anything from what they were doing. But once again, they play very sound. They play violent. We've been saying that all week, particularly about their front, and they did a good job. They earned that, and we didn't.
Tough. Ben Johnson following the game and really just talking about everything, being very transparent. I really do wish that Caleb would have taken a little bit more accountability at the podium, just like kind of in the Josh Allen way. I didn't want him crying at the podium, but I would have loved for him to have said, this one's on me. It's my fault. Well, I think Ben Johnson did a lot of that throughout the season, and it would have been great to get something like that from Caleb Williams. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Of course, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. And just because it's Martin Luther King Day and a lot of people have it off does not mean that we won't be firing on all cylinders today. Of course, I'm leading you up to 5 o'clock. It's when Dustin Rhodes takes over with the pregame show. And then Mully and Hall jump on. They got Olin Kreutz at 7 o'clock. Early work for the man that did the postgame show. They got Brad Biggs at 8. And then Mike Florio is going to be in studio hanging out with the guys. Definitely going to want to hear that. He's one of the people that predicted or that chose the Bears to win yesterday. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Raheemi, Harris, Grody, they got two great guests that you're going to want to hear from. Anthony Heron at 11. Then Dan Wiederer from the Take the North podcast will jump on at 1. Then Spiegel and Holmes, I know they have some. That's the show I'll be listening to later on today. They got Kurt Warner at 3 o'clock, so you're going to want to make sure you're there for that. But in the meantime, we're taking your phone calls. How are you feeling about this one? I know we're on the fence. There's emotions about the game itself and how close the Bears were to winning this one. And then there's also, at the same time, positivity and optimism surrounding this franchise and where they're headed in the future. But let's talk about this one. Let's go out to the phone lines. Again, 312-644-6767. Let's go to Jeff out in Kalamazoo, one of our favorites. Jeff, what's going on? How'd you feel about this one?
Hey, good morning, Gabe. And to quote the Bee Gees, it's just emotions taking me over, tied up in sorrow, lost in my soul.
Oh, man.
How do I feel about it? You know, I don't feel great about it, but, I mean, the Bears had their chances. The game's really lost is when the Rams are sucking, the Bears go 7 possessions where they get a total of 3 points. What we learned, I think we learned from this game is there is not a polished product on this team, so everybody has stuff to work on. Caleb has accuracy issues. We've known that, and we saw that in the game. We saw drop balls, but we saw a lot of drop balls because balls were behind people trying to catch balls in 7-degree weather. We got to clean that up some. BJ, we definitely saw Johnson have another game where he makes iffy calls. And one of my concerns about him, and I wanted him, and I still want him, is he got a little too much Dan Campbell in him. After Rome missed that touchdown in the first quarter, you kick the field goal. You take your 3 points there. You don't always have to go for it. The other ones I didn't mind so much, that one, but you take your 3 points. You got to score in playoff games. You can't have a bunch of empty possessions. The defense was like the best part of the game. Who would have thunk? You know?
Right.
And I think what we learned, a healthy Kyler Gordon is your best defensive player for this Bears team. He's your best pass rusher. He's your best cover guy in the nickel. And he's probably your best tackler when I see him tackle people. But everybody still has a lot to work on. I'm optimistic about next year. I think if everybody works on what they need to work on, I think we have a good team. I think we have Caleb going to hopefully develop more. He needs to develop in the pocket. He needs to work on that footwork, like he said. I'd like to see him take more accountability sometimes when things aren't going right. I'll say his best qualities right now that I see, he is someone that's not getting hurt. And even though he turned the ball over in this game, he's not big on turnovers. But he does keep it calm in the fourth quarter, and he doesn't let the game get ahead of him or away from him in the fourth quarter. So we got that to work with, and he's going to learn more in the Johnson offense next year. Johnson has to learn, and Johnson himself needs to learn a little bit more. One thing I think you're going to like about next year, and I'm hoping they're going to do this, because you mentioned it a couple weeks ago on The Score, and I've been thinking about it for a month. We got to get Max Crosby here. I think I have a trade that's going to work. You trade Rome Odunze, Sweat, and your first round pick this year for Max Crosby. And if they don't like, they say that's not enough, you've got a slew of fourth round picks this year. You throw in one of your fourth round picks, see if maybe they'll give you a third of theirs next year, and you get Max Crosby. And I think you can get that. I see people saying, well, we should trade DJ to Los Angeles or to Las Vegas. They're not going to want DJ. They don't have a quarterback. They're not ready to win. What they will want is a young receiver who's from Las Vegas to be under contract, under a rookie contract that can grow with whoever they're getting. So I think that is a trade you try to make. If you think Burden is your eventual number one, Loveland is going to be your eventual number one. Those guys, you think Booker is going to be your best pass rusher eventually. And Sweat, you know, he's decent, but he's not worth the money you pay. They may eat up that contract for you if you give them enough to take him off your hands. Because I think you need to include Sweat in that. You can't have Sweat and Crosby under their contracts, plus what you're paying your guys you signed this year for that defensive line. Because you got Brisker you've got to try to pay if you're going to keep him. Byard's going to be gone. You got to try to replace him unless he's going to give you a team-friendly contract. You got a lot of money that's going to be tied up that you don't have if you have that expensive defensive line to go with your expensive offense.
You're right. And I mean, I think, Jeff, and thanks for the call, because you brought up a lot of great points, 5 minutes of points, which I think was awesome. But, and I want to touch on all of them, right? First, take the 3 points in the momentum. I think that's one of your main points that you brought up there with Ben Johnson. Rome Odunze got to come up with that catch. I mean, it just talk about momentum and, you know, being in the playoffs at home, getting the ball first, like putting the 7 on the board, something you hadn't done a ton this second half of the season. Like, that would have been there. But you're right. You don't get that. You get the points. Get your 3. Get your momentum. Get the crowd on your side. The fact that you went for it, didn't convert, and then the Rams came down and scored a touchdown as a result. Talk about a deflating moment, right, for your team in the game. You come down, you have the interception, and they go on a 14-play, 85-yards, 6-minute, 33-second drive to literally suck the life out of not only your team, but then, of course, the stadium as well. Now, granted, the Bears bounce back on their own 12-play, 80-yard drive, but think about that. I mean, back-to-back drives where you're in the red zone, if you would have had points in both of those things, that would have been daunting for the opposing team and their defense, showing them that you're more than capable of coming down and keeping up with them at that pace. You talked about the defense being the best part, of course, 4 sacks. But the biggest issue for the second game in a row, no turnovers for the Chicago Bears. And last game was against the Packers was the first time they won a game all season without creating a turnover. It was the first time they had done it. So they were trying to do it again against a team that is the most potent offense in the NFL. It's just very, very difficult to do. And then, of course, I have to touch on the Max Crosby trade. If you trade Montez Sweat for Max Crosby, then you are in the same predicament that you're in right now, with just one good end, and you're trying to find the other. I think the point of bringing over Max Crosby, if and that happens and that you're trying to do, you're trying to pair the two of them. You pay Montez Sweat, you're trying to get Max Crosby there so there can be true havoc and chaos on that front with that front four. And so I think that's a high price to pay. And then, yeah, I don't know. Not in love with that one. But you know what? That's the good thing. That's where we're at right now, right? Where Bears lose a game, we get to talk about the shortcomings of it. But at the same time, you get the luxury of talking about the future of the Chicago Bears and what that could look like. And that's what we're doing right now. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, live and local for you, taking your calls next. 312-644-6767. After this game, are you mad like I am? Because I'm still mad. I'm not even thinking about next year and future and stuff. I'm pissed about the moment. Bears had the ball, 1st and 10 from the 50-yard line with an opportunity to win the game and head to the NFC Championship. And instead, they throw the interception and lose 20-17. Where are you at with this one? 312-644-6767. Your calls on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.